This month of April is Minority Health Month, and on our A Healthier Michigan from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, we're going to examine health disparities in minority children. I'm Lucianne Lance. You're listening to 1290 WLBY, and we're joined by Dr. Angela Seabright, Care Management Physician at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. What did the study say, Dr. Seabright, about the quality of care that children receive actually based on race?
Yeah, thank you. So racial and ethnic inequalities in healthcare have received increased attention over the past couple of decades, and the literature shows inequitable treatment across pediatric specialties. And it starts with neonatal care. And actually, if you think about it, it really starts with maternal care. So that care that mom gets can really impact the health care for the child. But yes, definitely neonatal care, primary care, emergency and critical care, and even palliative and end-of-life care.
So it's across the board from birth to death.
Yes, definitely.
What factors influence inequities in care?
So there are multiple factors. It's extremely complex, as you can imagine, and wide-ranging, but it's mostly rooted in structural racism. So, you know, when we think of other factors, access is very important. There are medical deserts, and these are locations with inadequate access to healthcare. And this could be rural as well as urban and suburban areas. Transportation also plays a role in access. Individual factors such as family preferences, cultural beliefs and preferences, language barriers may also contribute to disparities, educational and employment inequalities, and then bias, both explicit and implicit, or that unconscious bias. This is unconscious attitudes or stereotypes that can influence our decisions and our behaviors.
How can healthcare providers then check their unconscious bias, and why is that important?
Well, it really starts with us. So policy changes can take years to install. So in the meantime, it's really important to take steps forward on an individual level and for healthcare providers to check their own practices for bias and pursue ongoing training. So the goal with training or implicit bias training is to improve that self-awareness and really diversify our interactions and give us the tools that we need to intercept stereotypes. And this type of training is really only one part of a multi-pronged approach to promote equitable health for all.
So how much, you know, you mentioned cultural situations. Communication seems to be imperative here between, you know, the healthcare professionals and the patients, their parents. I'm just wondering how we can make that a tighter connection when you have these kinds of disparities. Is there a role that the parents should be playing in this as well to better indicate what is going on with their physician?
Well, absolutely. Parents are advocates for their children. But sometimes there are barriers for certain groups to really feel comfortable advocating for their child. And so I think it's both sides. You know, parents can advocate, but healthcare providers, we really have a role and a duty to look at patients as individuals and not from, you know, a group, and to really look inward at implicit bias and how that does affect our day-to-day interactions, because everybody has implicit bias. And I think raising awareness for it and obtaining tools that can help us, you know, move forward and have those types of effective communication with patients of all backgrounds. And, you know, we can, there are multiple specialties where pediatric disparities, you know, the studies, a recent article came out in The Lancet where they reviewed various studies over the past 5 years. And we saw these disparities with even common conditions. So when you think of common conditions in pediatrics, you think of things like asthma, developmental disorders, diabetes, emergency care. And so, you know, we'll take asthma, for example. We know that Black children suffer more severe asthma episodes than their white counterparts, but they are less likely to be transported to the hospital by emergency medical services. Non-Hispanic Black children are also about 3 times more likely to die from asthma-related causes than white children. This is according to 2020 data. And then with development, early intervention is crucial for improving outcomes for children with developmental disabilities, yet Black, Asian, and Latino children with autism spectrum disorder and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, are actually diagnosed at a later age and with more severe symptoms than white children. These groups are also less likely to receive specialty services. So you can see there's a lot of work to be done. And just like you said, Lucy, it really starts on the individual level and those interactions that providers have with their patients on a day-to-day basis. Each interaction can make a huge impact in the health and well-being of that child and their family.
Those are startling statistics, Dr. Seabright. Mm-hmm. Is there hope here? Are we making strides to change this?
We are making strides, definitely, but there's a lot of work to be done.
For more information, you can go online to ahealthiermichigan.org. That's ahealthiermichigan.org. It's a great site, and they always have information about the topic that we're dealing with on the particular week here from Blue Cross, and also nutrition and recipes and great ways for you to stay connected with health professionals in our community. Our thanks to Dr. Angela Seabright, Care Management Physician at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And again, that website is ahealthiermichigan.org, ahealthiermichigan.org.